to Matthew chapter 13. We'll read 1 through verse 23, but our attention will be verses 10 through 17. Let's pray to the Lord. We give thanks to you, O God, for the sure foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that your word gives us to him. And Father, we pray that your word this morning may encourage us who know you and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also pray that it would be a prick in the conscience and the heart of those who are not disciples of the Lord, to bring about conviction, to bring about a knowledge that only in Christ can one call themselves a child of God, and that they would be moved to repent and believe. And we pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear now the word of God. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And that's the word of God. The story of George Washington and the cherry tree. Or the story of Bunker Hill. Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. stories that are intended in our nation as a people, in our history, to promote virtues of honesty, integrity, readiness, patriotism, the virtue of standing up in the midst of odds that are far greater than yourself. For citizens of the United States, those stories have meaning that is deeper than just the virtue of honesty, integrity, of standing up for a just fight even when it is sent against you. For us, these are our things. They instill in us, even today, wherever they may still be talked about or taught, a sense of this is our country, and it is grounded and rooted in certain things. It would mean less if you were to go to a foreign country and tell these stories. They might get that, yes, one must be honest. They might get, because the saying, do not shoot to see the whites of your eyes, was most likely a common phrase when an army was low on ammunition. You did not want to waste those balls on people so far away. You'd be lucky to hit them. You want them to get closer so you can make best use of what you have. And they'd have seen that and said, yeah, okay, you know, that's pretty wise. But they would not get what you, as a citizen of the United States, gets from the same story. From the same story, it means something because of your perspective, of where you stand as one who hears these things. And you know, it would be the same way if you went to a foreign country and they too do stories, simple stories that of life, and you might get a little bit about it, but you won't necessarily get what the people of that land, of that country, of that history receive and what it means to them, because you're not from there. It's very similar to what we see with the parables of Jesus. Their understanding depends a great deal upon where one stands in relationship to Jesus Christ. How one receives it, what one gains from it, what depth of truth is brought into your heart depends upon whether you are in the know or not. Verses 10 through 17 deal with the question of why Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. Jesus had very clear teaching, but here he speaks in this literary form of a story. And parables are very simple stories. They weren't very, we're not talking someone who is discussing quantum physics, whatever that is. See, I don't even know. That's not saying a lot. But he's not using these deep things that only a scholar could know. He's not talking about something that is so specific to a particular field of academics or anything else, rather. This is life. Anyone who was around at that time would kind of understand these things. So it wasn't really difficult, but there was a point, there was an understanding to it, something behind it, a truth that was being conveyed about the kingdom of heaven, that if you didn't know him, you wouldn't get it. And so they ask, and Jesus answers. In parables, Jesus reveals the secrets of the kingdom to those who are in the know, and he convicts those who are not. So let's look at first those in the know, because that's who Jesus addresses first. Those in the know, and those in the know grow. It's an understandable reality as Jesus tells the parable of the sower and the seeds. We don't have to think very deeply to comprehend the simplicity of seed falling on the pathway where there's no real soil or not having a good ground bed of fertile soil or things like that, or among the rocks. We don't have to go to somewhere and get an education in those things, though the very outworking of them and actual planting, I'm sure, requires a lot more understanding. But these things are simple to us. But what Jesus meant in saying it was not simple to everyone. Even the disciples wrestled with it. Those in the know grow. And those in the know have received already the messenger. It's the disciples that came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And it's to the disciples that Jesus responds. He responds to them. He's responding to those who have followed him as Lord and Master. Not as a curiosity, not as someone who is perhaps interesting and has a, that's an interesting take on Isaiah Jesus. You know, we'd like to, as the Athenians were kind of curious about the Apostle Paul sort of thing. No, these are disciples. They have accepted him, followed him. They have already shown that they received him. They want to hear what he says. And it would be, after all, a strange disciple who didn't care what the master said. That wouldn't be a disciple at all. Just being called a disciple indicates that you have a great interest in learning everything you can get from your master. You want to know every detail. You hang upon every word. You want to store it up. You want to live it out. You want to follow not only in his teaching, you want to follow in his life. That's what you want to do as a disciple. And they have that. They've received his other messengers. They heard him tell about those who are blessed. They put themselves in that place. Are they hunger and thirsting for righteousness? They listened as he sat down and he taught the Pharisees and scribes, or rather rebuked them, and they listened to it. They heard what he had to say about the kingdom and what he had to say about that day of judgment. They heard that and they listened to it and they received it. They know what Jesus meant when he said that the people of Nineveh and the queen of Sheba would rise up over the scribes and Pharisees on the day of judgment. Now Jesus says to them, "To you who know me as Lord and Master, to you who have received my message thus far, you've been following me, you've been hearing it, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." That kingdom as it's come with Jesus Christ himself. There is certainly more yet to be revealed. We get a lot more as we go through the Gospels, and we get learn a lot more in the Acts of the Apostles, don't we? And we learn a lot more from the Epistles, don't we? We learn much more about the kingdom. And we get to the book of Revelation, we learn about the kingdom as well. And we are taught and taught and taught the riches of the kingdom of heaven. Well, the idea of a secret or mystery here is not to say it is something particularly complex. It is to say that it is something reserved and held for the purpose of telling the particular people for whom it is meant. We might call them initiates. We might call them those who are in the group, those who are a chosen number. Because we understand that those outside, the secret remains a secret. Now, this is not saying that it's God intends his church to be small, not by any stretch of the imagination, but it is for those who come to Jesus to learn more and more and have more and more revealed to us. Well, disciples are in the group. They are initiates who follow the master. They learn from the parables of the kingdom. They see how it grows outwardly like a mustard seed and inwardly like leaven. They understand when Jesus talks about a pearl of great price that he's talking about those who receive that kingdom and how it enriches them. Disciples have revealed to them things that are not revealed to those not his disciples. And we'll see that group in a moment. Disciples are chosen to grow deeply into the mysteries of the kingdom because Jesus says, "To the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance." The more you know as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you're simply going to grow. And isn't that the case in any discipline? That one starts out in preschool and elementary school, and one is growing, and according to your abilities, you are taught more and more. But by the time you get to high school, the story of Bunker Hill or the story of the ride of Paul Revere are something you have heard before. Yet there are details and things maybe you get out of this, maybe some strategy or what it cost the early patriots in the Revolution. You learn more because you've already known, you've already listened, you've already put under your belt an understanding of what it means to be a people free. And so these things begin to be more to you as you grow mature. So it is with the kingdom. There are things revealed to us in the parables. There are things revealed to us in God's Word that are revealed to us not because we're smart. Not because we have this intellect that outstretches those neighbors of ours who aren't Christians. Hardly the case. But because God, in His wisdom, has brought us into faith in His Son, we have been made disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is as disciples that we grow, that we learn. We learn about the kingdom's expansiveness. We learn in Acts as it goes out. The gospel to the apostles in Acts chapter 1, they were uncertain. They thought everything was going to come to a conclusion soon. And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. Go out. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will not only be my witnesses in Jerusalem, nor will you only be my witnesses in Judea. Nor will you only be my witnesses in Samaria, still in the general confines of Israel's ancient land. No, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. We see things and we understand things. We see persecution and we see the growth of the church. Other people see persecution and they see its end. We see things differently. We see a mystery that has been revealed to us. Others don't see it. We begin to learn more about the rule of our heavenly King on earth. We learn more about the form the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ takes. We learn more about it because, well, we're disciples and Jesus Christ is pleased. Through parables, through epistles, through histories like Acts, to reveal the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And so that we would have it, this knowledge in abundance, an abundance of it. Disciples are chosen to grow deep. That means we should never get to a place where we think we've had enough. And we think we've digested enough of God's Word to suit us for the rest of our lives. That we don't have to read it anymore. That we don't have to go over those same texts. How many times have you read the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ? And even if you get the same thing out of it today, you may have heard it preached some years ago, and you say, well, you know, I already knew that. But are you not growing at all an understanding of its implications? Are you not renewed or even revived to pursue the kingdom more with more strength and more desire? But then Jesus says, they're blessed. The disciples, those who are in the know, are blessed, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. There's a blessing in being admitted to the knowledge, to the secrets, to the mysteries of the kingdom. Disciples being in the in-group, the initiates who follow the Master, we're blessed everything we are taught. Whether it's a word that disciplines us and convicts us, we're blessed to have it. Because those whom a father loves, he chastens. We're blessed to get it. David was blessed when Nathan came and told him that story. Even though you notice David didn't get it. David didn't get it at first. I mean, to us, we read that because we know the story. We're like, David, duh. I mean, this is, what did you just do? What did you as king do to Uriah and his wife? And that snaps into his mind. And it pressed David to repent. And we get Psalm 51. We get David's understanding, not only of his great sin, but of God's great mercy that can be turned to any time. You don't have to wait. And there's nothing that says, you know what, you have to wait 2 weeks before you repent because you really got to make sure that you're really, really sorry. Give it 3 weeks, maybe four. If you're really stubborn, you got to wait, you got to wait a long time before you can go to God. You go to God and you ask for his mercy because you hear it taught. Disciples are blessed. Disciples can see where things are heading, the secret of the kingdom and the return of the great king. We're taught about that in the parables of what will happen when he returns. Our minds are turned to a day of judgment. When what is good is gathered and what is not is burned. And we are taught to look for it. We are taught to keep the oil in our lamps and keep it burning. We are taught to be always expecting and waiting for the coming. The mystery of the secret of the kingdom is that today we are waiting for it and we eagerly look for it today. Though your plan is at work, you have 2 weeks scheduled out and what you're going to do, yet we're waiting today. They hear the warnings. They hear the blessings. And they find that they hear things and know things that the prophets, true followers of the Lord, by the way, when you see that, he's not talking about unprofitable prophets, not heathen prophets, not heretical prophets. He says, truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, the coming of the new covenant in the blood of Christ, the fulfillment of all things, and how we have delighted through books like Hebrews or the epistles of Paul and discovering just how rich the Old Testament is in Jesus Christ and just how wonderfully he fulfills everything that is given and poured out in those pages written so long ago. It's ours. And we are blessed to see and have opened up to our eyes the fulfillment of the promises of God. Brothers and sisters, the parables reveal many good things to you. Many wise things, many beautiful things, many things that we as disciples ought to grasp. But what if you are not a disciple? What if you are not in the know? What if you are perhaps generally religious? Or maybe even sincerely religious? There are, secondly, those not in the know who lose what they know. Those not in the know lose what they know. The crowds gathered around Jesus wherever he went. We know that. He drew them by his signs, his teachings. Well, he teaches like none of the scribes or Pharisees have ever taught. This man teaches with authority. Maybe it was curiosity. Maybe it was some need. Maybe it was just the place to be. Here comes Jesus, the Messiah. But the masses were not disciples. They were observers, not participants. They were foreigners, even in their own land, of the things of which Jesus Christ had come to teach. It was all strange. Unbelievable in the true sense of that for them. They missed the point of something that should have been so particular to them as Israelites. They see the sights but never understand. They never comprehend the significance for the true people of God in what Jesus was saying. So what about those not in the know? Well, they have caught only pieces of Jesus' message without caring to know more. There was certainly a basic knowledge of the law and prophets among the Jews. It was not only their culture, it was their religion, it was their life in the midst of the Romans. They were Jews. They heard the stories of Moses. They had the synagogue worship in Jerusalem. They had the temple. They had this basic knowledge of law and prophets. They had notions concerning the Messiah. Everyone had notions concerning the Messiah. They had ideas about the restoration of the kingdom and what would it like would be like when Israel is brought out of its despair into the great glory that God promised it. What will it look like? They had their ideas. But Jesus said to them, it has not been given to know the secrets or mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To them it has not been revealed. With all that basic knowledge, with all that generic expectation and the religion of Israel at the time, because they have not received Jesus as Lord. When it came to Jesus, they were skeptics. Skepticism towards God's Son, towards God's Word, came out, or rather as it came out, from the pure and reliable mouth of Jesus Christ, is what they held. They had their basics, and they kept that. But what Jesus came to say and what he came to do, they weren't really catching it. They weren't really believing it. They weren't really taking it and accepting it. And of these things that Jesus did, you know what they were? They were signs of the kingdom of heaven. It was the gospel of the kingdom that he taught. And when they had set themselves to be skeptical towards it, they couldn't grow. They didn't receive him as Lord. You know, it is an attitude that will not grow. Even if you are a professing Christian, if you have taken a position of skepticism concerning things that dig deep into God's Word, some people are skeptical over theology. Now, we should be skeptical of heretical theology, right? We should be skeptical of someone who is professed to be a heretic, that is, they've said, you know, I don't believe the Trinity. I don't believe the two natures of Christ. I believe that works are involved in our salvation. In order to be justified, we have to do good. You can discount that, and you can be rightly skeptical. But when the Word of God is expounded, when it is taken and laid out before you, as Scripture compares with Scripture, and if you hold out a skepticism because you are content with simply a basic religion, you have more in common with those not in the know than those who are in the know. So what is the result of this skepticism of those not in the know who refuse to listen to Jesus Christ, refuse to accept him? Jesus says, even what he has will be taken. And I want us to think about those words. Even what he has will be taken. In light first of the Jews of Jesus' day, the basic knowledge they have of the law and prophets, it slowly deteriorates. They lose it. Because their understanding of the law and the prophets, not being understood in light of Jesus Christ, becomes something they don't really know at all. Modern liberalism, the basic knowledge, the stories of Jesus, the stories of creation, all this basic knowledge that had still been taught in liberal churches as they've taken their pastors from these seminaries where the academics were set against or skeptical of the truth of God's Word, its inspiration, and they come out and the churches are dying and people are deciding that, you know what? why even bother with it? Even the little they had, even the basic understanding of Christianity is now lost to so many generations of people because of a church that really didn't receive Jesus Christ and really didn't listen to his message. They didn't want to be in the know. And even the little they had, they lost it. And that's a great loss. And it is for us a warning. If we are content to be basic Christians, whatever a basic Christian is, if we are content to know as little about it as we have to in order to profess the name, in order to be considered an evangelical, in order to be considered a Christian, then, brothers and sisters, I don't know where you're getting your Christianity from. A disciple of Jesus Christ grows because they are in the know and the secrets are revealed to them. They're not just set over there. They are taken into the disciple's eye when they read the scripture, beautiful things pour out of it. And they grow in grace. Jesus says from the prophet Isaiah, having ears, they hear poorly, and having eyes, they conceal their sight. They fall under the curse found in Isaiah. Now again, let me remind you, these people had a basic understanding of the law and the prophets. You should not think that they were all ignorant, as though they were Gentiles in a far-off land who never heard of Moses. And that's who Isaiah is talking to, right? Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel. They become thick-headed, dull, like a person who is, you know, you've gotten stopped up in the nose, and you know what happens, and you talk that funny way that you do when your nose is stuffed up, and the food doesn't taste the same way, and you certainly can't smell it. You lose things. You become thick-headed spiritually when you are not in the know, when you have not become a disciple. You're stopped up in your heart and mind. You will not sense all the good to be found in the gospel of the kingdom. You won't find the true understanding in the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you know, yeah, birds eat seed. Rocks are not a great place. Although every weed I have grows in rocks. But that's not to contradict our Lord. We're talking weeds and they grow everywhere. But that's the curse, Genesis 3. They become thick-headed. They don't get the good. And isn't that sad to not get the good? They have eyes and ears because they have a religious mindset. They have certain mental awareness of things religious, do good, pray, obey God's commandments, but they do not understand or comprehend the grace of God. Through their own lives, the Jews, as the temple would be destroyed in 70 AD, and they become scattered from their land as generations pass, there's loss. They are kept from the blessings of salvation. They go on to believe they are still justified by the law and end up without hope. A little religion can be a dangerous thing when you're proud of it. When all is said and done, the parables of Jesus show those who do not receive him or his word that they are mere natural men who do not accept the things of the Spirit of God because they are folly to them. And they do not understand them because they are spiritually discerned, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. But the spiritual man, according to the Apostle Paul, has the mind of Christ as a disciple. And having the mind of Christ, we grow. Things are revealed to us. In the parables, Christ reveals things hidden and kept secret from the foundation of the world. He opens up to us the blessings that belongs to God's people in an age of fulfillment, which we have. We're in that age. And those blessings surely do exceed what the prophets of the Old Testament had. Theirs was expectation. We see, even today, you don't have to have lived in the first century AD, in the first 30 years or so, to receive the riches. We have them taught to us by God's word. We have them passed down to us by other believers. We sit and hear them as children in the pews. And God opens up to us great blessings. Now, the good news with this is that Jesus wants you to understand. God, Lord Jesus, wants you to learn and be blessed in his kingdom. Jesus is a revealer. There are only secrets and mysteries because they are revealed to a certain people. But they are desired from the very beginning to be known. Do you know that? Jesus desires for you to know these things. It is never the case that Jesus wants to hide these things in a group of pastors and ministers. Like the deep things only belong to the guy in the pulpit, but the basics of religion belong. No, not at all. Never, never was the case. Jesus wants you to have the fullness and grow in an understanding through his parables and every other means by which God reveals himself to us in his word, to know him and grow in him. Now, this also finally helps us to understand why so many don't get it. Why you wonder, why don't people come running? Well, because to them it has not been revealed. Until the Holy Spirit changes them and gives them new life, they won't. But thanks be to God that he has given us new life, that we can receive them and grow and be blessed. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be through metaphor or parables or direct teaching. We pray that you would cause us to pursue those things, to pursue an understanding, to want to have every secret, every mystery revealed to us concerning the kingdom of heaven, that we may live in good confidence and in faithfulness and in great, great hope. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.